slot. This is NPR.
Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch joins us now from the Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of the Virginia political news. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there, Wayne.
The General Assembly election season is close upon us. There are people announcing to run, some retiring. But in some of the newly created districts under redistricting, where are the Democrats?
A good question, one raised by my colleague Tyler Whitley in a piece on the front page of the TD earlier this week. For example, there is a new district that extends from Goochland County all the way out to Lynchburg. And while it would seem, from all outward appearances, friendly to Republicans, they don't seem to be any Democrats at all interested in it. And there are five candidates who have declared for it. And, of course, keep in mind the Democrats are in the majority in the Senate. They control the redistricting process. This map is supposed to be friendly to them. But it looks like they may be defending a lot more territory than contesting it. And there are other indications of trouble for that slender majority. Chuck Colgan, the 84-year-old chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, announced this week for a 10th term he's been representing Prince William County. But he only declared after it was virtually guaranteed that he would run unopposed. Of course, for Chuck Colgan, if his party doesn't control the Senate come January, Colgan has to give up the ultimate perk, the chairmanship of the powerful Senate Finance Committee. It seems to me that if that occurs, there are probably better ways to spend your late 80s. And down in Southside, Ward Armstrong, who was the House Democratic leader and had been drawn out of his district by the majority Republicans, has announced that he's going to move to a district now represented by a Republican, Charles Poindexter. This would seem initially seem to be an exercise in self-sacrifice. That district was drawn to favor a Republican, but Armstrong has something else in mind. Presumably, a candidacy for statewide office, lieutenant governor, maybe attorney general. And I suspect he figures nothing ventured, nothing gained, and maybe he earns a Heidelberg fencing scar of sorts if he should run competitively in that Southside district before he goes on and tries his hand at statewide politics.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, you wrote this week about the impact of vacant judgeships on the judicial process.
In particular, on the Virginia Supreme Court, there are seven justices. There are two vacancies. And for the court to continue to function, it is relying on its retired justices to take up the slack. That includes 94-year-old former Chief Justice Harry Carrico. The other so-called senior justices, as they are known, are 85-year-old Charles Russell, Lawrence Koontz, who's 71, and Liz Lacy, she's 66, the young one in that bunch. But all of this is a consequence of the legislature's continuing inability to come to terms on judicial candidates. Should the legislature, which looks like it's going to try again up until July to work a deal on judges, should it fail to do so and toss these judgeships to the governor, it's pretty clear that the governor is going to make his own choices and is not necessarily bound by those favored by one chamber or the other. By the way, gubernatorial appointments, particularly of Supreme Court justices, seems to be becoming the norm. Three of the five active justices were chosen by governors because the legislature failed to do its job.
About a minute and a half left, Jeff. The governor's staff is starting to show some turnover midway through his term.
And perhaps a little earlier than expected. This is in the policy shop. In other words, basically the lobbying arm of the governor's office. There's a lot of burnout in these jobs, but there's been spectacular turnover. Four have departed or been replaced. The latest leaving this week. The interesting thing here is the timing. We're heading into the 2012 legislative session. That's going to be a make-or-break session for Bob McDonald. It'll be the year in which he introduces a budget that is his and his alone. So presumably he wants all hands on deck, kind of an odd time to be looking for lobbyists, if you will.
Almost a minute left, and there's going to be a social event at the governor's mansion this weekend.
Yes, a reminder that the executive mansion is a private home, albeit for 4 years. In this case, Governor and Mrs. McDonald's middle daughter, Kaylin, will be wed on Saturday to a fellow by the name of Christopher Young. Best wishes to the bride. Congratulations to the groom. She works for the Henrico County Commonwealth's attorney, and he's an engineer. The services will be held at St. Patrick's up in Church Hill, but the reception will be held at the official residence. And the governor makes it clear that, yes, he will be footing the bill.
Okay. I don't want a New Jersey-type situation where the governor had to reimburse the state for some expenses. All right. That does it for today, then, Jeff. Thank you very much.
See you around the quad.
I'll talk to you again next Friday morning about this time. Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch with his Friday morning analysis of Virginia political news. Portions of today's programming are made possible by Richmond Montessori Middle School honoring its 8th grade 2011 graduates and rising class of 2012.
Support for NPR comes from the Kauffman Foundation, working to grow economies and expand human welfare. Learn more at Kauffman.org.
It's 20 minutes before 9. This is